Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and in a 5-4 decision which came down this morning, the United States Supreme Court has ruled that foreign detainees held at Guantanamo Bay have the right to challenge their detention in U.S. civilian courts. The ruling marks the third major setback for the Bush administration's policies towards the rights that prisoners have, prisoners who the Bush administration has accused of connections to terrorism. Emily Bazelon, senior editor at Slate.com, joins us now. She covers the Supreme Court a lot, and she's going to discuss the split ruling and its implications. Hi, Emily. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hello, and thanks for having me.
So what did the court actually say?
The court said that these prisoners are going to get their day in federal court. They have the right to habeas corpus, which is, you know, the old and famous writ, the way that people get into the court after their regular appeals are exhausted to argue that they are being detained unjustly.
And the court had already ruled twice that suspects held by the U.S. government in Guantanamo have the right to challenge their detention in U.S. courts, but each time Congress and the president have changed the law, most notably with the McCain Detainee Act of 2005, to keep them from pursuing that. So is this a direct rebuke to John McCain from the Supreme Court?
It's a direct rebuke to the Bush administration, which pushed for the Detainee Treatment Act. And yes, it's a direct rebuke of the parts of that law that took jurisdiction away from the Supreme Court and from the regular federal court process.
How did the court split 5-4 on this court that, you know, tends to break along conservative lines? What was the 5-4?
Justice Anthony Kennedy delivered the opinion of the court, and he was joined by Justice Stevens and Souter and Ginsburg and Breyer. So we're seeing the four kind of liberal moderates of the court joined by Justice Kennedy. And because Kennedy wrote the opinion, he was really able to lead on this opinion.
So I have a quote here from the rather harsh dissent by Justice Scalia, who wrote, quote, "The game of bait and switch that today's opinion plays upon the nation's commander-in-chief will make the war harder on us. It will almost certainly cause more Americans to be killed. The nation will live to regret what the court has done today. I dissent." Did anyone join Scalia in those words?
Scalia's dissent was joined by all three of the remaining justices, so Chief Justice John Roberts and also Thomas and Alito.
Listeners, we have a few minutes to take your phone calls with your reaction to this ruling from the Supreme Court today about detainees at Guantanamo Bay having the right to challenge their detention in U.S. civilian courts. My guest, Emily Bazelon from Slate.com, has been covering this as it has moved through the courts over and over again now, as she's been describing. You can call up with your comments. You can call up with your questions for Emily at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post your comments to our website, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. The case is technically called Boumediene, if I'm pronouncing the name right, versus Bush. Who is Boumediene?
He is one of the detainees being held in Guantanamo. And there are sort of two categories of detainees. There are a few dozen at this point who have actually been charged with crimes and are lining up to be charged before a military commission. The best known of that group is Sam Hamdan, who was Osama bin Laden's driver, and his case has already gone up to the Supreme Court. Now he is going to be tried, supposedly, soon. But the Boumediene plaintiffs, those bigger group of petitioners, there are hundreds of them, are people who have never been charged with any crime. And the question is whether they can be detained indefinitely without any recourse to the federal courts, based, as you were saying, on this Detainee Treatment Act that Congress passed a couple of years ago. And the court's answer today was a resounding no.
And we have this just in the last few minutes. I don't know if you've seen this yet, Emily, but a military lawyer for that ex-driver for Osama bin Laden, Hamdan, who you were referring to, says he will seek dismissal now that the Supreme Court ruling has come down.
Right. So the Supreme Court ruling doesn't directly address the military commissions, but it does allow the detainees being tried there to raise constitutional challenges. And so one of the questions in Hamdan's case, he's being tried for conspiracy. But there was no war crime of conspiracy under the Geneva Conventions before the Bush administration came up with it. So it's this question of being charged after the fact for something you didn't necessarily know was a crime at the time you committed it. It's called the ex post facto clause.
And if he wins his ex post facto case, does that mean he has to get released from Guantanamo Bay?
I mean, that is just a million-dollar question about all of these cases, and the Supreme Court has gotten nowhere near actually saying that they or a lower court should release these petitioners. This is, I mean, amazingly, even though this is the court's third bite at the apple, we are still really just at the doorway of getting into federal court.
And this, too, from the AP in the last few minutes, it says, the Supreme Court decision granting terrorism suspects the right to challenge their detentions in civilian courts has touched off a scramble at the federal courthouse in Washington. The ruling handed down resurrects several detainee lawsuits that federal judges have put on hold over the past 18 months. Judges, law clerks, and court administrators are scrambling to read the 70-page opinion and figure out how to proceed. Chief Judge Royce Lamberth says he will call a special meeting of federal judges in Washington to address what could be a massive influx of sensitive, high-stakes cases.
Right. So this is the D.C. courts and the D.C. Circuit kind of being caught in a tug of war between Congress and the Supreme Court, because what Congress did was to say that the detainees at Guantanamo only had this very limited right to review before the D.C. Circuit, which is the appellate court that's just under the Supreme Court in the District of Columbia. But now the Supreme Court has said, no, these detainees have much fuller rights to habeas review, and that means they get to go before regular old D.C. district court judges. And then the question is how to handle all of these cases.
Right. Now, the administration had announced that it planned to try at least 80 of the Guantanamo detainees for war crimes, similar to the war crimes trials that were conducted after World War II. Do you think this ruling will affect those plans in any way? That was just in the news recently, and I think one of the trials had recently begun.
Right. Well, they actually arraigned Khalid Sheikh Mohammed last week, I think, and those cases are supposed to proceed. This is where we go back to Sam Hamdan's lawyer and this notion that these detainees who are actually being tried are going to have recourse to constitutional claims that it wasn't clear they had before. And so that's like a separate, very complicated set of cases that the military commissions will have to figure out how to rule on, and then there will be a question about whether the Supreme Court will review that set of rulings.
Yeah, so what about the arraignment of KSM in particular? Obviously, the mastermind of the 9/11 attacks, as he is believed to be, is somebody who would not be easily released, and somebody who I guess the Bush administration has been very reluctant to try in civilian court.
Right, and you know that's why you start with KSM. It seems clear that he was involved in 9/11. He's spoken out vehemently against the government. He did that again in his arraignment and said he didn't recognize these as just proceedings and he wasn't going to participate. So that's a good reason to pick him first. It's pretty hard to imagine him getting released. The first step for the military commission actually reviewing his case is what procedures to use. The judge has a fair amount of discretion, and the big question will be what to do about the evidence against KSM that it was obtained via torture or, tactics like waterboarding that are quasi-torture.
Right, and we were just talking about this on the show last week, the fact that so much of the evidence in the case would have to be kept secret even from the defense and certainly from the American public when the trial is held, the military tribunal, people were questioning whether that was justice in the sense of what we think of it in the United States. But what's the court's, how far does the court go in terms of saying that these Guantanamo detainees, these terrorism suspects, need to be tried in civilian courts? Because certainly the Bush administration's argument has been, well, these are enemy combatants. These are, a prisoner, even if they were granted prisoner of war status. Well, when you arrest prisoners during a war, you don't go and try them in your civilian courts.
Right. So far, the court has only taken a kind of interim preliminary step. These detainees who are not being tried before military commissions, they've had this other process. They are called combatant status review tribunals. And they've been quite cursory, and there have been a number of ways in which they don't conform to the usual rules in trials. Detainees have limited means to find or present evidence to challenge the government. They don't get to look at everything. They don't even have lawyers. So this is a step below the military commissions in terms of the kind of due process being afforded. And the court said these CSRTs aren't good enough, but they didn't direct the government exactly about what to put in the CSRTs' stead. And they also very clearly said that they weren't talking about the content of the law that governs petitioner's determination. They said that's a matter yet to be determined. And so we're really seeing, you know, one step in a long road here.
Vanessa in Reading, you're on WNYC. Hello, Vanessa.
Hi, thanks, Brian. Yes, I just wanted to remind people that with the upcoming general election, that a president picks the Supreme Court justices and they're there for life. And when it comes to human rights and if there are issues that they care about, especially if they were Hillary supporters, that they should step behind Barack Obama.
Vanessa, thank you. And on the election hook to this, Emily, do you know if Obama or McCain have reacted to this ruling yet?
I haven't seen anything from their offices yet. It's a pretty long opinion. I imagine that people want to read it carefully or at least have a good briefing about it before they speak. I think we can expect to probably see John McCain say that he's somewhat disappointed since he was one of the co-sponsors of the law that the Supreme Court has refuted. And, you know, Barack Obama has called for the closing of Guantanamo Bay. And while this opinion doesn't directly tell the president to do anything like that, it does kind of eliminate the main reason for Guantanamo, which was that it was supposed to be beyond the reach of the American courts.
Right. Now, this is something that the Democratic presidential candidates, I think, have tried to stay away from and not make a big deal of. So, honestly, I don't even know Barack Obama's position on this, whether he would uphold the, you know, whether he would agree with the majority decision on this. Do you know, is this, in general, among Democrats in Congress, would they have been on the plaintiff's side in this case?
I think that they probably would be. I think you're right that this is a hard issue to talk about explicitly. First of all, it's like enormously complicated and a big legal tangle. And then also, you know, as that quote you read from Scalia's dissent illustrates, it's easy to use these opinions as a basis for fear-mongering because there's this idea that if we do anything in any way to limit the president's power to fight the war, we're making ourselves more vulnerable to terrorists. And Democrats who are in favor of rulings like this need to figure out a way to talk about them that addresses that point.
And Chief Justice John Roberts wrote in his dissent that the majority opinion was striking down, quote, the most generous set of procedural protections ever afforded aliens detained by this country as enemy combatants.
Right. Well, that line comes straight from the government's brief. That was a point they really pushed at oral argument. And the problem is, what do they mean by ever? I mean, they're talking about very specific circumstances in American history. But if you think about all of American history, most prisoners of war have been afforded the protections of the Geneva Conventions, which are a lot broader than the kinds of procedures used for the Guantanamo detainees thus far.
Now, also today, and we've got about a minute left with Emily Bazelon, senior editor for Slate.com, who covers the Supreme Court. The court ruled by unanimous decision that U.S. citizens held by the U.S. in Iraq also have the right to habeas challenges.
Yeah, this is a big deal, too, although it's going to get a little overwhelmed today. But what's interesting here is that these people have the right to habeas review. And this is a big deal because we're not talking just about Guantanamo Bay, where the U.S. is clearly in control, whatever the kind of Cuban status of the island.
Right. This is U.S. American citizens, what, fighting against the U.S. in Iraq?
We are talking about U.S. citizens. They're not necessarily fighting against the government, but they're people who the Iraqis have picked up and want to try in their criminal courts. And even though the court ruled that these American citizens have the right to habeas review, in this case, the court said that the State Department had said that the Iraqi courts and criminal procedures were adequate, and the courts were not going to second-guess that decision.
All right, so they do have U.S. criminal justice system rights of habeas corpus under that second ruling today. Emily Bazelon from Slate.com, so informative. Thank you very much for all of this.
You're very welcome. Thanks.
And again, that news, the Supreme Court ruling this morning that foreign terrorism suspects held at Gitmo do have the right to challenge their detention in U.S. civilian courts. Talk to you tomorrow. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.